28th of July, 10:30.
Well, in so many ways, at least part of the passage is very familiar. There is a version of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord's Prayer. But when I look at it, this passage leaves so many questions. As I was reading, and I do read when I'm preaching again and again all week, that so many questions came to my mind. And before I go further, may I just ask that, forgive me if I burst into cough. It is not cough, because some of you know that I've got this problem with pollen, though the pollen has gone down, but it's just giving still a lot of trouble. It's not really with the sound system, it's more with my voice. But that's so many questions. First, that this is one version of the Lord's Prayer. You go to Matthew's Gospel and there is a different version of the Lord's Prayer. And then you go further into the passage and you read that the Lord saying, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, etc. And then it goes on, he who seeks or she who seeks that finds, and who knocks receives, etc. Door is open, and so on. And I wonder that, like me, how many of you were that, I have been knocking for quite some time. It isn't open. I have been asking for quite some time. I have no answer. So there are so many questions this passage raises, at least for me. And my hope is that we not only will listen today what the Lord has laid on my heart, but we will meditate on this passage when we go home. To start with, as I mentioned, that there is a different version in Matthew's Gospel. Luke's version I just read to you, and the Bible is open perhaps with you that you can have a look. But look what Matthew's version says. It says, our Father in heaven. Luke's version says, Father. Matthew says, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. That's Matthew. But let me just remind you, if you haven't got the Bible open, what Luke says. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. So are these two different types of prayers, or is the one extended version and one is the shorter version? The opinion obviously differs. Some think that Jesus taught people how to pray more than once. They say that the occasion in Matthew's Gospel and occasion in Luke's Gospel point out towards that. Because when you look at the context of the Matthew's Gospel version, that it was taught during the time what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. Whereas Luke's Gospel, we read a disciple, probably who was not present when Jesus was teaching, that on the Olive Mount, asked Jesus this personal question, Lord, teach us to pray. Variation, they believe, is understandable, as Jesus was entrusted in the patron rather than giving the fixed words which we should chant as we come to pray. Now, others think that Jesus taught the pattern of prayer only once, and that Luke has a shorter version, whereas Matthew extended it. What do you think? I leave it for you to meditate and think and come back to me sometime. Now, then, did Jesus teach this as a model or a prayer that faithful should repeat? Or was it a guideline or a pattern for prayer? I would be very surprised that even if in this small church, the opinion is not divided. Obviously, different people think different things. Matthew, for instance, we read Jesus saying, "This is then is how you should pray." In Luke, he says, "When you pray, say." To me, it seems, and I don't think I'm alone, that as though in Matthew's version, the Lord is saying, this is a guideline, and this is the way you should pray. Remember all this framework and pray within that framework. But when you come to Luke's Gospel, to me, the sense is that as though he is saying, use these words. I don't know for definite, but I can tell you that when I'm in heaven, if by then I don't know the answer, I will certainly ask the Lord, what is for repetition, or was it just a pattern, a guideline? How should we pray? But to me, one thing is certain, that whether you believe that it is just a pattern, or whether you think that it is how we should say, that's it, we should respect each other, because both can be seen there, Matthew and Luke's versions. But more important is really, how should we pray? That is what matters. And to me, here, the very beginning, our Father, or Father, it is that prayer should be relational. It is at the PCC meeting, people were talking about certain forum where different faith groups meet and discuss. And as I was reading this, and I thought to myself that I wonder if a Christian person one day in that group would say that, well, I want to say the Lord's Prayer and say Our Father, and what he, she will be faced with. Because you and me, we are taught to come to God in that we have a relationship with Him. He is our Heavenly Father. For others, it is a blasphemy, and I would be very surprised if in that sort of a forum, you bring this prayer and you will not be stopped or protested. If you belong to that group, try one day and see what happens. Come to God knowing that He is Father in heaven. And it is a privilege to approach His throne of grace, knowing that I have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And that is a great privilege for a man or a woman. But that does not mean that we lose the sense of holiness. He still is God who is almighty. That's why, hallowed be your name. He must be remained there where he is in that, in his holiness. Because the temptation often is to cut him to a manageable size, even in our prayers. But I think it is important in prayer to remember that he is God Almighty. I remember the story, and this is a true story, of a family member, a young child who heard probably me or somebody else preaching on the tithing. And the pocket money he received, he started tithing. And obviously the preacher has said that the Lord will bless you greatly. You give to what belongs to the Lord. And this little child faithfully giving 10% from his pocket money. And one day got so angry and hands going like this. I have been doing all this. I haven't seen multiply anything. I have been looking under my pillow every morning. I am not going to give it anymore. That is something cutting God to his size. That was child But don't we adults do as well sometimes? This is my wish, and that is how it should be. No, we should keep him there in his holiness where he is. Just a couple of other high points from within this pattern or a model of prayer. And one particularly I pick up, and that is, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Now that leaves huge, big question. Wait a minute. I have been taught all my life in Protestant churches that forgiveness is by God's grace alone through the sacrificial death of Lord Jesus Christ. And here is that forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. So is it my forgiveness is dependent on that have I forgiven Mark or Becky? No, that they haven't done anything wrong, but you know what I mean, just that giving the names. That is it that I will be only forgiven if I forgive others? If that is the case, then where does fit the sacrifice of Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? A big question. And again, I want to leave it with you to think about it and come back to me. For me, it is really and truly that yes, we are forgiven by his grace, but has it changed anything in us? And that to me is some kind of a measuring rod or whatever, that are we truly of the Lord? If I can't forgive that what others have done wrong to me, then I wonder that if I ever accepted that God truly has forgiven all those horrible things I have done throughout my life. I'm now just quickly going to jump from the Lord's Prayer to the other question what I raised. Here it says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. But how many of us do still wait for the prayers to be answered? Why prayers are not answered? In the Bible, I read a number of reasons. One is, for instance, James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 talks about our motives. Are our motives right in us? The second is, for instance, in Isaiah chapter 59, I think verse 2, that our unconfessed sins, often sin can be a barrier to hearing, our prayers to be heard. And one is that unforgiveness in our own self. Then obviously there is other places, Matthew chapter 6, 13, 15, that talks about our attitude. Then as in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, is about disobedient heart and then hoping that God will answer the prayer. But one I want to focus on is something what actually Jesus mentioned in this passage. The headings probably in some of the Bibles are persistence in prayer. I was reading an illustration that a theological student asked his teacher, same questions what I am raising, that wait a minute, Jesus said that ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, and knock the door will be opened. But why then so many prayers go unanswered? And the teacher said, have you ever sat next to the fireplace in the dark, and have you ever heard a knock on your door? You heard probably, you went to the door in the dark, you couldn't see anybody, but you saw a steps, fast steps moving away from your door. You came back, you sat next to the fire again, and again there was a knock. You thought that probably somebody was coming and dropped something on the way and went to pick up and has returned back. You went back to the door, you opened the door, again, you couldn't see anybody, but you heard steps even faster now moving away from your door. You went by, you sat next to the fireplace, you heard the knock again. I can see already some faces wondering that how many times I can get up, and that is exactly. And the teacher asked, will you get up again? You will not, because you know that there is no sincere seeker. It is some naughty child who has knocked on the door and has gone away. Do you know why so many prayers are not answered then? That we are so often runaway people who knock but run away, don't stand and wait. But I thank God for those who stand and wait and see the things happen. Last Wednesday, we were having a prayer meeting here in the church rather than at David and Jan's home, because it was too hot to meet in their home. We had a tremendous time of prayer, and I boastfully, ignorantly did tell them that we started this prayer group when we were looking for a youth worker. But as I was preparing this, and I wanted to look some of the answers to the prayers, and lo, I found out that actually we started that group on the 29th of August, 2015, and the cause was not Charlotte asking for Charlotte, but we were desperate for Alan. And there I challenged people that, well, we have interviewed so many people, we have done everything possible, and no one said, let's not now do it our way, but do the Lord's way. Let's start praying. And there is the answer. And it is from there, then we started about the youth and family worker. Yes, I know that Charlotte said last Sunday that she is going to go to another career, and that's wonderful. Praise God, we bless her. But the Lord provided. And do you think that Lord is not going to provide again? It depends on you and me. Are we going to be persistently knocking, or are we going to be the runaway children? Plenty of challenges in our church. Only a few weeks ago, we were four. Within a few weeks, we will be left only two, me and Becky. Lots of challenges. But Lord is there. Let me finish by repeating again. It depends, are we going to be persistent in knocking, or are we going to be runaway children? Lord bless you. Amen.